We're going to continue our study in Psalms 119. We've been doing it, I think I've been managing to do it about every other week, trying to finish it off. But I'd like to work on it again this morning and, Lord willing, this evening. We should be able to finish the psalm then. We got up to Psalm 119 and verse 121. So if you turn your Bibles over there. Psalms 119, just to refresh everybody's memories, is an acrostic. Only it's an acrostic in Hebrew. Acrostic means that each of the lines in the this particular psalm starts with the same Hebrew letter. And they're divided into verses of 8 verses each. So this is a psalm with many psalms in it. And each of the 8 verses start with the same letter. Now, many of your translations have little titles and tell you which letter each of those verses start with. And we are up to 121. And this particular verse, or this section, and the 8 verses with it, is the Hebrew word or letter for ayin, is the word or the letter. Both a word and a letter. And ayin looks roughly about like that. And if you wanted to spell it out, it is connected. It is usually spelled with a there's a very soft breath mark at the very beginning. That's why there's a little apostrophe there. But it's pronounced ayin. This is probably one of the few Hebrew words to come close to an English word, because the Hebrew word ayin, the glyph, is supposed to represent an eye. It might take some imagination if you say, okay, here's two eyes. But that's what the glyph is supposed to be representing. And the word, Hebrew word ayin, also means eye. So it comes very close to the English word. And in this psalm, starting with verse 121, it says, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for thy salvation and for thy righteous word. Deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments, above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem right all thy precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. If I wanted to give it a title, what we see here is the psalmist is talking about there's enemies all around. This has been mentioned several times. We live in a world full of enemies. And the psalmist is diligently looking for God to handle that problem and to save him. In fact, he says, basically, I've been looking so long, my eyes are getting tired from looking. But unlike Jeremiah, who watched in vain, this watch will be fruitful. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 4. Lamentations. Lamentations is also an acrostic, but Lamentations chapter 4 and in verse 17, says, yet our eyes failed. Looking for help was useless. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save. Here Jeremiah said they've been looking for salvation from somewhere. And they've been looking so long, their eyes are tiring out. And they never did find salvation from anyone else. But here, the psalmist is expressing he's looking to God for salvation. And he believes God will save. And so we want to give this a title to the section, This is about an eye. He's looking for salvation. And we want a song to go along with that. Turn the song book over to song number 442. My favorite Psalm 119, verse 129. In this section, each of the letters start with the Hebrew letter for pay, and a pay looks roughly like that. You wrote it out. Pay, or sometimes they put an H on the end, sometimes without the H, is a Hebrew word. The glyph is supposed to represent an open mouth. Now, it's kind of hard to see. I brought the final page. No wonder it doesn't look as well. Let me write this. There's, in Hebrew, since there's no ending letter, so there's no periods at the end of sentences, they take some of the letters have a different form to say that they're at the end of the sentence. So there's an ending form of each of the words. And that one especially, you can't see it. So that is a pay. The other one is the ending, the final pay. But it's supposed to represent a mouth. Again, use your imagination. There's the teeth and the mouth is looking that way. And in this, also what's interesting is the word pay means mouth. That's what the word means, is a mouth. So ayin means an eye. But pay means a mouth. And in this section, when we read, and starting with verse 129, it says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after thy manner with those who love thy name. Establish my footsteps with thy, in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep thy precepts. Make thy face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep thy law." Here what he's talking about is panting, longing for the word of God. Using the idea of a mouth. The psalmist longs for God's word as if he was panting after a long run. In Psalm 42, and in verse 1, Psalm 42 and verse 1, says, "As a deer pants for the brooks, watered brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God." And in 1 Peter chapter 2, which was part of our scripture reading, the same idea is expressed. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy with all slander, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." That's something all of us as Christians ought to cultivate. It's not just interest in the Bible, but a longing, a desire. That this is something that we want greatly. Just like after you went for a long hot run, you would love to have a drink of water. That's how we ought to feel about God's Word. In our song book, song number 843, is a song that is actually based on that reading that we had from Psalm 42. Song number 843.
As a yeah, la la, my friend. to worship you.
This morning is Sade, and that's the letter that is used in this section from Psalms 119, starting with verse 137. And Sade almost looks like Ayin. Spelled in that form. People have little idea exactly what a sade is supposed to represent as far as a picture. Some guess that it is trying to represent a fish hook. And okay, it doesn't look much like a fish hook to me, but that's what they... some have guessed it to look like. What's interesting is that there's an older name for this letter. Instead of Sade, it used to be called Sadiq. And Sadiq is the word for righteousness in the Hebrew language. And here what we find is the psalmist extolling the righteousness of God. Take a look at starting with verse 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. You notice here, righteous is used a lot in this particular section. And what he's talking about is that God has produced a righteous law. That righteous law comes because God himself is righteous. And so all this section is talking about is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of his law that he has produced. We ought to look for God for righteousness. Take a look at Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, starting with verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And in her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of melody. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, and then look to the earth beneath. For the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, neither be dismayed at the revilings, for moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. God here is expressing that his righteousness is forever. It lasts. And because of that, his law goes forth to produce salvation. Not just for the Jews. You notice in here it says for the peoples. For all nations. In fact, if you look at Psalm 19, there's a description of God's law. Psalm 19, not 119, just Psalm 19. Starting with verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Excuse me again. "The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, and much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." God's laws are righteousness. They're pure. They're desirable. The whole of Psalm 119 is talking about God's laws. We need to appreciate the fact that God didn't just give us arbitrary rules. He didn't try making our life miserable by saying these things, you know, that are fun, you don't go after. God's laws are right because he's right. God's laws produce salvation because this is the way things work. It's not in our songbook. There's a song that fits way too well. It's called Psalm 19, so there's a little supplement here. Should be out there. If not, we'll make sure some of them are distributed. There's a bunch right here. Number 4 in the supplement. Okay. Psalm 19. The Lord, the Lord. Still got four more letters to go. I'm planning to finish those off this evening. But I'd like to offer an opportunity that if there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, to submit their will to the Lord. Realize that He is our God and He has given us a law unlike any other that benefits us when we follow it. There's no time than right now to put on Christ. And is there anyone here is a child of God like the prayers of brethren on their behalf? Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song of the Lord?